Good morning. Now, you do not have to apologize that the numbers are down, because if there were three of you, I would come. Believe it or not, if there were three of you, I would come. I go out to mission sometimes, and there's only a half a dozen. And that's a long ways, because God has called me to preach. So that's what I'm trying to do. Now, I have to confess to you this morning that there's a book in the Bible that I am very neglectful in speaking on, and that's Revelation. Now, I know there's a lot of you go to Burnaby, the Bible Fellowship, and they did Revelation this last year, I believe. Is that right? I really wanted to take it, but I couldn't. And looks like we're having a little trouble with the techie there. That's okay. That's probably my fault. Oh, it's not plugged in. Now, if it was plugged in, it might help. That's my fault, brother. Good. Now we're ready to rock and roll. There we go. As I was saying, the book of Revelation is a book I don't speak on very often. It's not that I'm scared of it, but it's very complicated. And Burnaby and the Bible Fellowship had it this year, and people who took it were blessed, completely blessed. So what I've done, I've dedicated 2025 to Revelations. And so far, I've gone through the seven churches, I've spoken on them, and I'm not speaking the same message twice. So today is a new message, and it's on chapter 4. Of Revelation. And I hope that you are blessed, because I'm not going to try to interpret it. I'm going to apply it. And there's a difference. I am not a theologian. I'm a practical theologian. And it's reading it and studying the seven letters to the churches, I found out that it was very, very practical. And here in chapter 4, if you turn with me in your Bible to Revelation chapter 4, we're going to see some practical advice in this thing. Revelations chapter 4. And I believe that you are going to be blessed. And after the service, if you have any questions on the side, I would be more than happy to try to answer them. I've spent hours and hours and hours. And I'm not going to talk about pre-mill, pre-trib, dispensationalists. I'm not going to talk about post-mill. I'm going to talk about practicalities, things that we can bite, things that we can get a hold of, something that will change my life. And there's a lot of it in Revelation. First of all, I want to thank you for your letter. Now, many of you signed the card for my birthday. I know I don't look 80, but thank you for the card. And in the foyer, there's a bookmark. If you'd like to grab one or two or three or five, I still have got about 10,000 of them. So help yourself to a handful. Put them in your different books. It just tells that I'm 80 years old. Praise God. I've associated with Argentina for 40 years, and 59 years I've been in the Lord's service. And Heather has backed me all of those years. Revelations chapter. Now, I'm going to be a little theatrical right now, but try to get this. Try to get the grasp of this. Okay, you ready? Can you imagine? Imagine now. Imagine this. Imagine. A trumpet sounds. A voice calls. And in a blink of an eye, millions vanish. Planes without pilots, cars without drivers. Complete chaos in the world. While the believers are raptured, transformed, clothed in glory, and taken into the very presence of God. Does it give you goose pimples? It gives me goose pimples. And I've been practicing this all week. I mean, that's a little theatrical. We don't usually do that in the assembly. But yet the trumpet, Yeah, that's going to happen. We don't know when, but I'm ready. Are you ready? I'm ready. Because I'm good? No, because Jesus died for me and I've accepted him as my personal Savior. Now, we don't know exactly how it's going to be, but let's read the first three verses of Revelation chapter 4. After this, I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven, and a voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, "Come up here. Come up here. I will show you what must take place after this." At once, I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and rubies and a rainbow that shone like an emerald encircled the throne. Wow. Wow. Going to be exciting, isn't it? Now, I don't know if it's going to be like this. When I was a kid, this is a picture they always showed us. This or something like this. When we start to get all excited about heaven, let's look at four truths presented in our text concerning John's experience in heaven, which one day will be our personal experience. We're going to look at the open door. There's an open door in heaven, and we're going to apply that to today. And then we're going to talk about the call up to heaven. The call up to heaven. Then we're going to talk about the experience in heaven. And then we're going to talk about the view in heaven. Are you ready? Are you ready to go to heaven? I am. I am. First, an open door. After this, I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. The open door in heaven signifies a gateway to God's presence and a revelation of future events. The Apostle John sees this door, and there's an invitation. There's an invitation. A voice, like a trumpet, an invitation. And John is transformed into the Spirit. And we come about a new vision. But you know, the door is open, dear friends. The door to heaven is open to you. And it's open to me. Jesus says, "Come to me, all ye who labor and weary and burden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For your yoke is easy and my burden is light." Dear friends, this door is open to heaven, and the only way to go through that door is through Jesus, with Jesus Christ. But Jesus is there. He says, "I go to prepare a place for you." But you have to accept him. I have to accept him. And this is, yes, in Revelations, and there's lots of different meanings to it, but there's an application we can take, an open door to heaven. But so many people aren't accepting it. So many people aren't accepting Jesus. I give out hundreds of Bibles and Gideon New Testaments and Gospels of John. Every day I give out at least a half a dozen. And many people don't want it. They don't want to go through the door. But dear friends, the door is open, and I thank God for that. And then this call, the call up to heaven. And the voice I first heard spoke to me like a trumpet saying, "Come up here. I will show you what must take place." This is God's invitation to you during your lifetime here also. With all the perplexities and problems and troubles we have in life, Jesus says, "Come on up." He He's prepared a place for us, but you have to accept that place. Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I am going to there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, and you will be me where I am. You know the way? Yes, Jesus is that way. So the call is to all of us. Now, I might be speaking to the choir here. I don't know you all. Maybe you all are saved, born again, regenerated. I hope so. But if you're not, this message is for you to take to people on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. So I'm not speaking to the choir. And you know the thing I like about Revelation, which I never knew. You know, you're going to be blessed, even if I speak poorly, even if I mispronounce words, even if I make mistakes. Listen to what it says in Revelation chapter 1, verse 3. God blesses the one who read the words of this prophecy to the church. And he blesses all who listen to this message and obey it, for the time is near. So we're going to be blessed. It's a win-win situation. We're reading the word of God. We're reading Revelation. And the call is for all of us. The voice. And once I was in the spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven and someone sitting on it. The voice, the experience in heaven. Heaven's going to be a wonderful place. No tears in heaven. No sorrow in heaven. We're going to be there to worship the Lord. And I was looking in chapter 5, so next time I come back here in September, I think I'm going to probably be speaking on chapter 5, 6, or 7, or 8. But God wants us to know the prophecies in this book. Jesus coming again. We sing, coming again, coming. He's coming again. And he wants us. And then we have a view in heaven. And the one who sat there and appeared as jasper and ruby, a rainbow like shone, like an emerald encircled the throne. He's wonderful. He's marvelous. In Revelation chapter 4, the one sitting on the throne is God the Father. He is the ultimate authority and the ruler of the universe. And the throne symbolizes the sovereignty. This is the emphasis that we must realize, that he is the one in control. God is in control. And we are to live according to what he tells us, and he tells us in the word of God. That's why I tell people we have to saturate, we have to impregnate our minds with the word of God. Fantastic, fantastic chapter, chapter 4. But you know, the voice from heaven, it also gives us four fundamental truths to guide our life every day. The voice from heaven. The heavenly voice. First of all, God's voice from heaven in Revelation 4 and 5 describes the real heaven. This is real heaven. You read about people going up to heaven and coming down. You read it, people dying and coming back to life and all those kind of things. But no, this is the real heaven. This is the voice of God coming from heaven telling us, come on up. I want you. My son died for you. Come up. Come up. So that's the first thing. The voice from heaven tells us that this is the real heaven, not a counterfeit. And God's voice from heaven in Revelation 4 and 5 describes the eternal home. There's only two places, and I won't excuse myself for saying, but there's only two places we go after death, heaven or hell. And this is the place that God wants us to go, where he is. And he's gone to all the preparation and work, providing a way for us to get to heaven. He's paid the ticket. Sounds a little non-religious, but I have my ticket paid. God saved me through Jesus, and Jesus paid my ticket. So the voice from heaven describes the real heaven. This is a place which is full of joy, peace, blessing, endless pleasure. But there'll be torment. If you don't accept God's way to heaven, then we're going to go to hell. And that's torment. That's torment for the rest of your 1,000 years. And then the third thing, the voice from heaven demands one way of salvation. And the one way of the heaven is through grace. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. And of course, the last part is a voice from heaven that destroys self-sufficient. I can't get to heaven on my own. God's calling me. He says, I have provided my son for you. So we are to lift up our eyes and we are to look at the throne. We are to worship the God Almighty. Lift your eyes. Behold the throne. Recognize who sits on the throne. Absolute sovereignty. Live to worship to the only worthy one. God Almighty is on the throne. I'm looking forward to the day. If I get any crowns, do you know, I'm going to come to the throne, and I'm going to take that crown. If I have any crowns, I'm going to take them off. I'm going to lay them at his feet because he owes everything. All to him I owe everything. Then we have to recognize who sits on the throne. Absolute sovereignty. Absolute sovereignty. Who sits on the throne. And then live to worship the only worthy one. Now let's look at these a little closer. Lift your eyes, behold the throne. After this I looked and behold a door standing open in heaven. Too often we are downward gaze. Too often we are perplexed by all the problems. But what does it say here? It says, lift your eyes up. Lift your eyes up and look. Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We are to look up. We have to lift our eyes. And we are to look at the, and the throne is not empty. We're going to see who is on the throne. God is on the throne. God is on the throne. John is telling us to look up. We can leave our daily problems, all of the anxieties and all of the disappointments, and we can look up. We are to live a heavenly view. We have to try to put out the noise of earth. Sometimes it drowns out the voice of God. Sometimes we're so busy. Sometimes the television, sometimes the computer, sometimes the sports. Oh, the BC Lions won last night. Oh, no. But you understand what I mean? We get so perplexed. Who won, the Oilers or the others? Nobody knows? The Oilers won? No, they didn't win. But you know, we can look at these things, but they can't take hold of our life. We are to leave our burden at the cross and go free. And we are to look up. We're to look to the throne. Look to the Lamb of God. To God's rule over all things. That's what we have to understand. We have to fix our eyes on Jesus. In the age of social media, political instability, personal crisis, we must fix our eyes on what we do not see. To the unseen, the throne that stands unshaken. Jesus doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we're to look to Jesus. Look to the Lamb of God. And then we will have to recognize who sits on the throne. Absolute sovereignty. And behold, a throne stood in heaven with one sitting on the seat. I read many, many commentaries, and 99% of the people believe this is God Almighty. And he is the one that we are to worship and to look to. It's God's authority. The church often speaks of God's love, but we neglect the authority. Revelation 4 brings this out so clearly. The sovereignty of God. The all authority of God. This challenges us. This consumes us. And all of our decisions, all of our acts of obedience, every word we speak must submit to his authority. Live to worship. The only worthy one. I enjoyed the worship meeting. Did you? I don't know if you all were here. I was sitting up here. I didn't see how many were here. But I spent 45 minutes just thinking and praying and just worshiping God for what he did for me at Calvary. That he gave his son for me. Worthy are you, O Lord and God, to receive glory, honor, and power. This is a continual thing. Our worship to God is something that is worth doing. It's lasting. It's everlasting. It's not wasted. In the self-centered culture, Revelation 4 calls to dethrone ourselves and enthrone God in every area of life. That is so important. It's real. It's not a fantasy we're talking about. We're talking about a throne in heaven. We're talking about an open door. It's reality. Let's not wait until eternity to live with heavenly reality. We have abundant life. We have a piece of heaven here. At least I do. I went to George Richard's funeral just last week. There was 300 people probably there. I don't know. But Christians, people who love Jesus, people from Anvil Island Bible Camp, people from all the assemblies. I thought I was in heaven. It was wonderful. But we can have that. A pesar de, in spite of all the problems around us, we can have that joy and that happiness if we look to heaven. Today, it's a reality. Let's not wait until eternity to live with heavenly reality. Let us live now as a throne-centered people, radically obedient, deeply surrendered, and wholly devoted to the Lamb who is worthy. More you give to God, more you're going to receive. I know that. You can't outgive God. Give him your life. Give him your whole being. He wants our family. He wants our health. Our recreation. Our politics. Finances. He wants all of us. Not 50%. 90%. He wants 100%. And when we read these three verses in Revelation chapter 4, I just get so thrilled to think that he's coming back for me. Because of what his son did for me on the cross. Now, I have a challenge for this week. I'm not good fast. I can't fast. I fast and my stomach goes wrong. But let's fast for one thing. Maybe leave social media for one whole day. All entertainment for one day. and just think and spend the time instead to worship and reflect on the Jesus, the Lamb. Wouldn't that be something? We talk about fasting for food, but we can fast for pleasure, or we can fast for social media, or entertainment, or sports. That'd be kind of hard with the finals. Ask yourself, in what way, in what area of my life is Christ not treated as worthy, and how can I change it? I trust that this message has been a challenge to you in Revelation chapter 4. As I said, I have left it out of my life too much long. Ezekiel and Daniel and Revelation, they're hard books to understand. But this is so practical. And I hope that you can take this home with you this afternoon and chew on it. Like a cow, you know. Eat it over. Think of it over. How's my relationship? Have I entered into the heaven? Do I worship the person on the throne? Is he in charge of my life? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this congregation. We thank you for each person here today. And we thank you for those people up at camp. We ask your special blessing upon them too, Lord. Guide them, direct them, help them. Give them a super duper time. And when they come back, may you bless the cars. They get in the cars as they drive home. Give them protection. Some maybe from Seattle, from Bellingham, from other parts. And bless each person here, Heavenly Father. Help us to live in reality of the second coming. Help us to be ready, Heavenly Father, for the second coming. Help us to be wanting the second coming. And we'll give you all the glory and praise and adoration that you deserve. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.